And good to have you along. Yours truly, Ron Stafford, keeping you company on another exciting edition into Broadcast Excellence, Musical Excellence. Yes, sir. We call it Duncan's Garage, interviewing local and national artists coast to coast and here in the studio. And we're going local this time, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, in my search, we have had a lot of local people in the studio. It's been absolutely fantastic for our third season. A name that came up a few months ago when I was researching projects and artists is the name of David Andrew Smith. And the guy, in my opinion, sounds like a throwback to Cat Stevens and a little bit of Dave Matthews, and it's a pleasure to have him here in studio. David Andrew Smith, welcome to Duncan's Garage. Good to have you here, man.
Thanks for having me.
How long have you been playing music, and what made you get into this crazy business in the first place?
Depends on how deep you get, I guess. I started piano when I was about 6 years old, like, you know. Okay. And then eventually in like fifth grade, I picked up, percussion in school. So okay. I started percussion, but then I didn't start guitar until right before high school when I was about 14 years old.
Okay.
So, you know, I've been playing since then. So probably about, what is that? I'm 37 now. So
how many
years that is. So
you went to Salisbury. You're a local guy, born and raised in Maryland.
Yeah. I'm from Snow Hill, Maryland originally, but I went to Salisbury. Yeah. With Mark Hopkins, who was here last time.
Very cool. So I'm looking here. You studied music composition and performance at Salisbury.
Mm-hmm.
And you got your, what is that, the bachelor's in that? Is that what you, okay.
Yep.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very
mm-hmm.
cool. So is this been full time since you graduated from Salisbury? I mean, you're, I guess, what, 15 years now? Is this pretty much playing full time? I've interviewed artists that say, well, you know, I have a regular gig. Angie Miller told me about this. She's a full-time teacher, but a part-time performing artist. Has this been full time for you since the last 15 years since graduating from Salisbury, or just talk about that if you would?
It took me 6 years to get through Salisbury. I went part time a couple semesters. I changed my major with music. You have to, I was classical guitar the first year. And with music, if you change it, you know, the focus, then you have to start back over basically with
really?
The semester. Yeah. So I switched to composition mainly because I wanted to study jazz guitar. And they didn't have a major of jazz guitar at Salisbury, but they had composition. So I was like, well, I can major in composition and have a primary instrument of jazz guitar. So I switched. At Salisbury, it's a small school, so it's the same professor, Dr.
Right.
Jerry Tabor over there.
Right.
So I did that. So that set me back a year because I had to start back over with the lessons. And then I went part-time a couple semesters. So through school, I was giving lessons for a living for, you know, so, but then... After that, in like 2004, I moved over near Baltimore, D.C., where there's more opportunity. And, you know, pretty much right away, I hooked up with some agencies and then switched over to performing for a living. So now I perform for a living and give lessons on the side.
Very cool. So where do you mostly perform? You were talking to me Baltimore, Annapolis, D.C. Is that sort of the range that you're currently doing right now?
Yeah. With Mark Hopkins, I think I heard you. Talking about the DMV, you know, same thing.
Okay.
You know, yeah, DC, Maryland, probably closer to DC more often, you know, because the agencies I hooked up with when I came over here happened to be more in that area. It's kind of back and forth, comes in waves. Lately, all of a sudden, I've been getting more gigs in the Baltimore area again.
Okay.
So,
what's the farthest you've traveled for a gig?
Flown to Tampa.
Wow.
Driven to Cincinnati. Actually, that was kind of funny because we drove to Cincinnati. Played like 30 minutes and drove back the same night.
Are you crazy?
It was
a
really, really long
Are
day.
You serious?
Yeah. It was called Midpoint Music Festival.
Okay.
We played for that. We played like a Cadillac Ranch. It wasn't anything, you know, but it was like a big
festival. But it was
festival.
A festival. It's a big thing. It's a networking opportunity too.
Yeah. So, it was cool. I don't know that I've ever really done like a tour. You know, it's usually been a one-off shot like that. Like Tampa, I played for like the Rock Boat. It was like a pre- Like this cruise that has like Sister Hazel and I don't know, when I went, it was like 2008 or something. It was like Matt Nathanson, Brett Denon, like all the Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. But I played for like 4 years later or something like that for the pre-party in Tampa, I think. Just flew back or something like that.
So. Very cool. Is this just you? Do you have a family or you? I mean, this is just solo. You don't have a band or anything. You're unlike Mark. He's like, oh, I have the hotel and I have this, but it's just you.
Actually, I have a band too.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. For a while I was trying, well, it's a long story, but,
we have time.
Well, in college I was in a band called Trucetto and we did mainly original gigs, you know, it's more originally driven. And I have on SoundCloud, there is a page for Trucetto. If you soundcloud.com/Trucetto-official, I think it is. So that's like more rock and it's kind of Foo Fighters-y stuff.
Cool.
then when I came over to this side of the bridge, the bay, I guess, I was in another band called The Making, and we did original stuff too. But then, you know, for a living, I was doing the cover stuff at bars mainly, you know, like throwing an original here and there, but like a lot of solo gigs.
Right.
But eventually I stopped doing that. That wasn't, you know, so the original thing, it was tough, you know, trying to do that for like make money doing that. And you with a band, we would like put money back toward the band normally or whatever. So,
exactly.
You know, in a lot of those shows, you're kind of, you know, if you go like Ramshead Live or The Wrecker or whatever, you know, you're trying to promote and all this stuff. And
that's
you,
right.
Usually we would like break even or like lose money, you know. So eventually so I switched things over to David Andrew Smith, and I was trying to do a band that way, but I was trying things a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, trying to just kind of have hired hands as the band, because some of the band, you know, there were issues in the past, you know, with certain things like drug problems or people not showing up to practice or whatever, you know, manipulative behavior was that I found manipulative sometimes or whatever, just things like that. So, you know, I was like, you know, I'm kind of done with that. So, you know, I just was like, you know, I'm just going to have hired hands, you know, and if that stuff comes up, yeah, bye-bye.
Exactly.
You know, that was kind of like a new organic thing that had to grow because I didn't know that many musicians, you know. So that that has been the band now since like 2008. Well, this is just doing things as David Andrew Smith, but the only this is a long answer, I guess, to the question you're asking.
No, that's fine.
But that's morphed into something called Rue Smith now. That's like David and Rue, like two people. Rue broke off and formed a band. So Rue Smith is the band because certain venues thought David Andrew Smith sounded too much like a like solo acoustic act. So like
we,
for instance,
I can see that.
You know, we play it like Secrets in Ocean City, you know, and it you know, needed a name that I guess sounded more. That didn't sound like that. So Rue Smith worked, you know. I was trying to think of a way to keep the same merchandise until I could buy new merchandise. And on the CDs and business cards and stuff, it's all caps, David Andrew Smith, you know, and it's all kind of mushed together. So I was like, David and Rue, two people. There you go. Rue Smith.
There you go.
So Rue Smith is the band. So we play usually on the weekends with the band, and then I play solo, you know, during the weeknights.
Which do you like more? Is it just kind of six half dozen of the other as far as the solo versus the band gigs?
In general, just life in general, you know, I like variety, like a mix, you know, so it's nice to have both. I think, you know, I enjoy both. I mean, there are things I can do solo that are, we can't do with the band necessarily, especially a lot of it has to do with like the amount of songs that I can play, you know,
right.
With the band, it's much more limited, you know, because we all have to know the song and things like that. You know?
Exactly.
But playing with other musicians is a lot of fun, you know, I think, too. So, and rocking out, you know, it's fun. With the band, we kind of rock out more. You know, solo acoustic is just a little more, you know, mellow or chill, I guess. You know?
Sure. Let's take our first break and have you play song number one. I didn't even know about the band. That's actually pretty cool. So, what's the name of this song, David?
This one's called Thoughts of You in Red. It's also up on SoundCloud. It's soundcloud.com/David Andrew Smith.
A little self-promotion there, which is good.
Yeah, I figure I throw it in there.
That's
if
fine.
If people want to find
that's
it,
fine.
That's okay.
That's what we're about.
There's no charge. You know,
there's no charge. We're supporting local talent. That's what we do.
And, you know, this is from gradually working on another album. Like I did one in 2008, and that one is you know up online and all that. That's called Sweet, Sweet Nothing. But
and we're playing Words to the Wise, which is a wonderful track. Just, I mean, we've been playing that for a few months, and first time I heard it, it was just, I'm like, I got to put this on the station.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
No problem.
That's the only track that I've been able to really finish since the album 2008, just because financially it's expensive to record. So that track, Words to the Wise, I'm recording with the same person that I'm recording this other, a newer album with. Yeah. This guy, his name's Brian Mersch. He used to drum in the band called the Cheaters, if you're familiar with them. Like now they're called the Chesapeake Sons. But I say used to. I think he does still play with them some. But anyway, but Brian, he's doing it for free. So that's the only reason I'm able, you know, he's like being super duper nice. And
that's right.
You know, so it's pretty cool. So
recording a project is very expensive. I had a woman on by phone and she had to go through GoFundMe. She's a national artist, had to get $10,000, you know, and it took like over a year to get that money. It's expensive.
Yeah, I tried those routes. I can't remember. There were a few different sites, you know. I've done like the Patreon thing and all that too.
I've heard about that.
You know, but there was it wasn't Kickstarter, but it was something like that. I can't remember what it was at this point. But there was, you know, it just didn't. I wasn't able to raise enough money. I'm just not hip enough to how all that works, I guess. So, Brian's doing it for free, but, you know, because of that, you know, we have to kind of space things out some. We're planning on doing about 14 songs. But right now we're probably on pace to do about like a song every 2 years or something like
that.
That's all right. So, but we've been posting the progress, or I've been posting the progress on SoundCloud on that page. That's the long answer, but this is one of those songs. So,
very cool.
This one's called Thoughts of You in Red.
Very cool. So. David Andrew Smith.
Thoughts of you in red fill my head, smiling with your teeth, making friends. I'm looking you up and down when you turn away, trying to push my luck. Thoughts of you in red fill my head. Once revealed, these hands match your dress, expecting the evil eye me in my place, till I see a blush cross your face. Are you falling too? I'm in love with you, and I'll play the stakes if maybe we could see this through.
It's mellow. It's chill. I remember the song, was it Lady in Red by Krista Berg? It's got that hint of, you know, you're just captivated. Talk to me about how that song came to you.
Well, that's actually a very old song. I think the date on here is 2002. It's just kind of been sitting in the, there wasn't really a way, an outlet for it, I guess, you know? And I was playing a bunch of songs for Brian Mersch, who I'm recording with in the studio, who's also drumming on everything. I just played him a ton of stuff, and this was one of the songs he played. He was like, "Let's do that one." He really dug it, you know. So I was like, "Yeah, you know, I've been wanting to do that one." And I might also add that a lot of what I was singing on that, like the is meant to be a guitar, you know. Like I sang the solo and stuff, just to me, it seems like it needs some that to still be in there. So I'm just singing the guitar part, like an electric guitar. You know,
that's
so
great. I can see how the electric guitar would add more of a depth to the actual piece itself.
Yeah, I mean that one. If to give an idea, like I picture that, like you know, drums with brushes, kind of, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe an upright bass. Yeah, like a jazzy electric guitar. You know, like I think from that song, I think maybe like Steely Dan meets Eric Clapton, or
sounds about right.
Something, or you know, well mixed with like, I know this sounds strange, but like some of the Foo Fighters softer stuff. Like they had a song called mm-hmm. "Walking After You," this really pretty acoustic song. I kind of appreciate that, or like John Mayer or something. But the lyrics, you know, it's kind of just this, I don't know. That's what came out. Like, that's not really anything. Like, it's not a true story. It's just kind of like, I don't know. That's what felt like it needed to be sang over the song.
No, that's fine.
You know,
fine. I've asked this of other musicians, and you were so kind enough to listen to podcasts. What comes first to you? Do you get the lyric first? Do you get the melody first? What really, talk me through your music. I mean, you study music composition. So talk to me about how you sit down and come up with a fresh new piece.
It's interesting because, you know, I haven't finished an original song in over 5 years. I mean, I've barely written anything, but I used to write, I think there's a balance to it because I used to write like songs a week, you know, I mean, if I have like hundreds of songs, and I think that's part of it is there's so much on the back burner that, you know, so I just want to throw that in there as a disclaimer or something, you know, like when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about what I used to do. Like I you know, I haven't really written much, you know, and you know, most of the gigs that I'm doing these days are cover gigs, so it's like I can only sneak originals in here there. But again, that's the long answer. So so basically what I would do is either just usually it would involve just like sitting down with the guitar and just fooling around. There's just some kind of creative process that happens sometimes with that. I mean, like a child or something, like a toy, you know. So, and then I would try to sing over top of that. So, but once in a while, also, I would get like, say, maybe a lyric that was kind of quote unquote catchy in my head, like something mm-hmm. that just kind of stuck. And then I'd try to sing that lyric and then put music to it. Or sometimes a melody would come and I'd put lyrics to it. And then, you know, but usually the ones where I didn't have a guitar that I was fooling around with where they were just melody driven like that,
right,
ended up being more poppy and catchy because of that, I think, because the, you know, like, you know, so something like this song, for instance, that I just played, you know, was actually, I was fooling around the guitar first, you know, so it's, I mean, when I say poppy and catchy, I guess a lot of times they were almost like, power punk songs or something, you know, like really,
the rock ballad thing, the as other I say,
ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas this one, you know, came just from, you know, messing around. I was messing around with this, you know, Mark Hopkins last time, I think, was talking about different tunings. So I mess around with different tunings. I use sometimes, there's something called a capo you put on the guitar.
Okay.
I've seen that. Kind of like pushes down so you can play higher up. You know, I have like, sometimes I'll use two capos, things like that together to create a different tuning and kind of a different sound. You know, sometimes you can put it really high so the guitar sounds like, you know, almost like a different instrument. It's like maybe some people think it sounds like a mandolin or something.
Interesting.
But this one is like, you know, the normal tuning of the guitar is E-A-D-G-B-E from like the low, the thick string to the high string.
Exactly.
On that song, I tuned both of the E's to down a half step to, you know, the black key on the piano to E-flat, you know. You know, and it just kind of created these chords that I thought were really pretty.
Oh, and it worked.
Like that one. You know, just really, I think that's a really pretty chord.
Oh, so, it's beautiful.
It's like a minor nine or so for the music nerds.
That was sweet. Like
I think A-flat minor nine there or something. Yeah, so.
And you get a music theory class from David Andrew Smith, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Very well, since cool. I majored in composition, so
I'm a theory, more about this. I'm barely geek, majored in music. You know. It was weird. When I went to Towson, I took a music theory class. Cyrus Chinwalla was the guy's name. Tall, skinny guy. And the book was literally like this thick. It was like huge. You know, I've been studying music since sixth grade, and I failed the course. I just flat out failed. I didn't get it. He was a good professor, but, you know, this is, what, 93, 94? Yeah. But then my parents know this. I took, what was it, music for non-majors because I still needed the theory requirement. I aced the course, you know? Yeah. But still, it was more, and the professor was a little bit better than Chinwalla. I don't remember his name. So whomever you are, and if you're listening, kudos to you, sir. So it all depends on, you know, the professor and your passion and everything else. We have about 8 or 9 minutes left. You want to do song number two, Dave?
Sure. And just to throw this in there, compared to what you were just talking about, I was called Smart Boy by many people in the theory classes. It's also right because I was the teacher's pet kind of. I was definitely a theater geek. So
all right, smart boy, let's do song number two. Let's do song number two.
So this one I just have to tune it back.
That's
up.
All right.
So real quick, I'm gonna do.
That's all right.
Who was it that was talking about that cheat and use the electronic tuner here?
Yeah, I think that was Billy Joseph. I think so.
Although
you've done your homework, dude. That's cool, man.
I guess if you really want to cheat, now they have those like Gibson guitars that just tune themselves.
Really?
So okay, this is more old school than that. It's more purist than that, I guess. So it's all relative from one perspective.
That's right.
So this one is another kind of more jazzy tune. Okay. I almost might be giving the wrong impression here because most of the stuff I write is not like these songs. These just seem to fit the format of the show from what I was listening, to.
It's perfectly.
Yeah.
What's the name of this one?
Most of the stuff I do is probably more, John Mayer meets Matchbox 20 meets Foo Fighters
Right.
This one's called, it has two kinds of, it's a Oh Just Rambling Again / A Blessing in Disguise. I'm either going to use one of those titles or both or the / or maybe parentheses. But
okay.
Anyway, okay.
A work in progress, I guess.
Yeah. So.
Go ahead.
All right. I never thought I'd be the one you love. I guess I'd assume that was just not my kind of love. But now that you're gone, I can plainly see that if you don't come get the best of me, someone's gonna be stuck with what's left of me. Now we wouldn't want that for me. I couldn't tell all this loneliness was for. But now I realize it was a blessing in disguise. I never liked being the kind of guy who would pull out all the moves on you then say goodbye. I guess I had hoped we could at least be friends. But if you get some sort of hankering to wager it all and show me some skin, I must admit I would not be opposed to the notion. Sometimes you gotta give in. I wouldn't do you wrong. If we would fight, I'd lay out my arguments in some made-up song, which I'd admit that you've been right since you were born. Although it's not very long, 'cause of course I still remember how you told me if it should ever come up, I'm the same, and I know that you're still so very young. But if you get some sort of hankering to wager it all and show me some skin, I must admit I would not be opposed to the notion. Sometimes you gotta give in. I couldn't tell all this loneliness was for. But now I realize it was a blessing in disguise. In the
it's like a beatbox thing going on, but it's like the drums and everything else. It was cool.
Once again, the first solo was so cool. Was a clean electric guitar. The second solo at the end was like a upright bass.
This is cool.
And I don't know if you're familiar with Eric Scott. Like, I've been trying to get him to play on, most of the stuff. He's a local. He plays with a bunch of local people. He's a session guy.
Cool.
I'm getting him playing on that. And then Buddy Spear is a guitar player who's playing on most of this, all this stuff.
Very cool. So. We've got about 3 minutes left. It's gone by so fast. It's fantastic. Do you have a regular place where you play, or do you just people contact you through your website? It's davidandrewsmith.com. Is that correct?
Yep.
Where will you be playing next? Do you want to promote that? And again, we just mentioned the website, davidandrewsmith.com, if you missed it the first time. Where just promote a couple of gigs and just let us know where you'll be playing next.
Well, this week I have, you know, I could go the list. I mean, I've been playing pretty regularly lately at the Horseshoe Came In on Saloon in Fells Point in Baltimore. I'm there this, well, the 24th of October at 10 p.m. A lot of these are late.
Oh, that's fine.
Got stuff all over the place. I mean, best thing would go to davidandersmith.com/ there's a, like a shows page on there, but you know, I mean, I could go through the list of the gigs I have this week, but I mean, I've got one like every night, so I don't, you know.
Good for you.
You know, it's mainly like, you know, just.
And pays the bills and helps keep food on the table, so that's good. I mean, that's fantastic. Are you glad that you're doing what you're doing? Do you have passion for what, it seems like you have the passion and you have the knowledge. You certainly have the knowledge.
I appreciate
it. Are you glad for what you're doing now, what you've been for the last 15 years?
Yeah, I guess that's the thing, and it's usually for me always the deep, long answer, you know. But for a while, I hit a point doing the cover stuff and playing bars where I was getting really burnt out and frustrated. And then, you know, I started to apply for jobs like substitute teaching and things like that. This was like 2009.
Hey, don't do substitute teaching. I did that for a long time.
Well, you know, it's fine. But at filling out the application, it helped to put things in a different light. So I was like,
That's okay.
I definitely don't want to do this.
That's right.
So I was like, okay, well, maybe I need to find a way to be happy doing what I'm doing. So that's since I've been 30, I've become more kind of holistic, quote unquote, spiritual, things like that. And finding ways to just enjoy the present moment and what is more, rather than fighting against what is, you know, like just going with the flow of whatever's happening rather than trying to swim against the current. So,
sure. So
that's the thing. I am, this, again, long answer, but I am, you know, really happy, you know, and that's the thing is, you know, I think that's a big part of it is finding a way to be happy just doing what you're doing, you know. But more icing on the cake would be being able to do original stuff and, you know, tour and have songs on the radio.
Exactly.
You know, but, you know, I'm playing music for a living and lots of places you can't do that. So.
That's true. And you're doing what you love.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's great, I think.
David Andrew Smith, thank you so much for the time today. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks.
DavidAndrewSmith.com. Again, DavidAndrewSmith.com. Lots of good stuff there. Check it out. Again, Words to the Wise is a fantastic track. And who knows, maybe we'll put one of those two tracks that David just did on the radio station as well. That's going to do it for me, Ron Stafford. Thanking you very much, as always, for being right there. Until next time, make it a great day and an even better tomorrow.